Local school districts across the state had spending referendums on Tuesday's ballot. Some leaders said without the funds, districts would have to make serious cuts. It's Thursday, April 6th. This is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up, legislators on the Budget Committee heard from advocates for more school funding in Wisconsin and an effort to boost Wisconsin's outdoor recreation industry. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
Cash-strapped schools around the state again turned to voters to increase funding for their operations or new projects. Gabby Vinnick reports that more than half of the referendums asked to exceed revenue limits.
There were 82 referendums in 68 districts across the state this year. Voters approved a measure that would raise the revenue cap over 5 years in the Manitowoc Public School District. But some say relying on referendums for more funding is unsustainable. Manitowoc Superintendent James File says if the referendum failed to pass, it would have had a negative impact on school operations. The district would have had to cut staff, delay maintenance on buildings, and increase class sizes.
In many ways, what I see is happening over the years is the state has shifted more of the burden onto the local taxpayer, you know, to balance school budgets.
As of Wednesday afternoon, the state was still tallying official results. Gabby Vinnick, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Tuesday's election marked the third time in the past 5 years that a liberal candidate for the Wisconsin Supreme Court has won by double digits. Justices Rebecca Dallet and Jill Karofsky both talked about their personal values in 2018 and 2020, and Justice-elect Janet Protasiewicz continued the trend this year. Republican operative Mark Growl says he thinks it's not the messaging that's helped liberal candidates as much as it is their bios.
I think the biggest thing we can take a look at is the candidates that the liberals have run. They've all been female, they've all been judges, and they've all been former prosecutors. And that's been a pretty successful formula.
Democrats say the issues their candidates run on move voters, especially support for abortion rights. Wisconsin's Joint Finance Committee held its first listening session on Governor Tony Evers' biennial budget proposal in Waukesha on Wednesday. Evan Casey reports on why some speakers called for more education funding.
The budget includes a $2.6 billion increase in education funding, with over $1 billion going to special education. It also includes a $1,000 increase in per-student spending in the next 2 years. Even so, some local educators called on the committee to increase that spending. Mike Sprague is the president of the Franklin Board of Education. He said many districts have been forced to use federal pandemic relief funds to cover budget gaps.
The decision not to properly fund schools will ultimately impact the educational quality of our state's children.
It's unlikely Republicans will approve many of the recommendations in Evers' budget, but the committee will hold three more public listening sessions in the coming weeks. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The Office of Outdoor Recreation would get more funding and permanent staff to promote the state's growing industry under Governor Tony Evers' budget proposal. Evers wants to make three positions permanent and provide around $1 million to the office over the next 2 years. Outdoor recreation added $8.7 billion to the state's economy in 2021. That's a 14% increase from 2020 when people flocked to the outdoors during the pandemic. Republican Representative Rob Swearingen of Rhinelander says the agency does a fantastic job with limited resources.
It gives the biggest bang for its buck.
Tourism Secretary Ann Sayers says the agency supports a nearly $21 billion industry with funding far less than 1% of the overall budget. But Republican Representative Jeff Mersaw of Cribbets says that's still a lot of money. Coming up, we've got a story from Wisconsin Life about the lessons and joys of celebrating Ramadan at an Islamic child care center in Milwaukee. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about Ramadan, which is currently underway.
1.8 billion Muslims all over the world observe the holy month of Ramadan. That includes the children at the Crescent Learning Center, an Islamic childcare center in Milwaukee. Reporter Christina Leffring tells us the center's founder strives to help refugee children and their parents feel at home during the holiday and through the rest of the year.
Crescent Learning Center is like any typical childcare center. Kids play with clay.
It's a teddy.
They make gifts for Mother's Day. And, of course, there's Baby Shark. But it's also unique because this is an Islamic childcare center. And it's the month of Ramadan, the holiest month of the year for Muslims.
The kids get excited about Ramadan.
That's Rafat Arain, the founder and director at Crescent Learning Center. The kids we just heard are too young to fast, which means no food or water from sunrise to sunset. But their families still wake up early to eat a big breakfast before sunrise and share a big feast at the end of the day when the sun sets. The whole community gathers in homes and at mosques to celebrate. And for the kids who are old enough to fast, it is a joyous rite of passage.
The parents do put more effort in making their favorite things, samosas and all those brownies and all of those, the things that the kids love. It's exciting for the kids.
It's also a lesson in gratitude for what you have and empathy for those who have less than you.
There are so many people in this world that don't have any food. We are giving up this food out of choice, but a lot of people have no choice. They just don't have the food. So you feel their pain too. You have to feel the pain of hunger that a lot of people are going through.
Which may be closer to home than the children realize. Arain, who's originally from Pakistan, started working with refugees in 1993 when her family took in a family that had fled the war in Bosnia. Since then, she's worked to help each new wave of refugees resettle in Milwaukee. Somali, Burmese, Rohingya, and most recently, Afghan.
I think I have a weakness for the refugees somehow. I was never a refugee myself, but I just feel that it would be... I came to this country, I spoke English, I was educated, I didn't have to, you know, go through all of that. We are in this world for a purpose, not just to eat and drink and sleep and take care of ourselves. We have to do it for others. If I have this education, it's not for me to keep it to myself, it is to share it with others. That's everything that we have.
She decided to open the child care center when she saw refugee kids were falling behind in school. The center opens early and closes late to accommodate parents' work schedules. And during the pandemic, the center stayed open and staff helped the kids with virtual school. Arain's office is set up to welcome parents with tea, snacks, and a sofa where they can sit and talk. She's also hired staff from several refugee communities.
See, I have Burmese staff, I have Somali staff, I have Arabic staff, I have Moroccan staff. When those people come to me, I have translators over here. A lot of parents depend on me. They have problems. I have the sofa, they come. It's a good thing. Someday I might need help. God will send somebody for me.
Back in the classroom, children are encouraged to give to charity. And as the teachers warm up their halal lunch, they remind the children to say Bismillah.
Say Bismillah!
A blessing before eating their rice and vegetables. Most of these children are too young to fast for Ramadan or to remember what their families went through when they left their home countries. But one day, they'll join millions of Muslims around the world as they remember to be grateful for the roof over their head, the food on their plate, and the people who've helped them call Milwaukee home.
Christina Leffring brought us that story on Ramadan and the Crescent Learning Center in Milwaukee. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell & Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Our producers are John Davis and Rob Menser. Catch us wherever you get your podcasts every weekday morning. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Dodge it, Dodge it.